A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and release to the prisoners, to announce a year of favor from the Lord, a day of vindication by our God. I rejoice heartily in the Lord. In my God is the joy of my soul, for he has clothed me with a robe of salvation and wrapped me in a mantle of justice, like a bridegroom adorned with a diadem, like a bride bedecked with her jewels. As the earth brings forth its plants and a garden makes its groweth spring up, so will the Lord God make justice and praise spring up before all the nations. The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brothers and sisters, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Test everything. Retain what is good. Refrain from every kind of evil. May the God of peace make you perfectly holy, and may you entirely, spirit, soul, and body, be preserved blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will also accomplish it. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him, they asked him, "Who are you?" He admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Christ." So they asked him, "What are you then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you, so that we can give an answer to those who sent us? What do you have to say for yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." Some Pharisees were also sent. They asked him, "Why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ, or Elijah, or the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but there's one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to untie." This happened in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord. This is taken from the first reading that we heard proclaimed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. One day in July of 2010, I was working at my desk and received a phone call from Bishop Callahan. Now, Bishop Callahan had been appointed as the bishop of our diocese, but he had not yet been installed. So when I answered the phone, he said, "Well, this is Bishop Callahan." And I said to myself, "I don't think this is Bishop Callahan. Why would he call me? He's not even yet the bishop." So I said, "Who is this?" He said, "This is Bishop Callahan." I said, "No, you're not." I said, "Who is this?" "I'm Bishop Callahan." "Really? No, you're not. Tell me, who is this?" Now, the reason why I did that is because there's a priest in this diocese who likes to impersonate other people and does a pretty good job of it, did a good job of Cardinal Burke. So I figured he's got him down already. So finally, I decided this must be Bishop Callahan. And I apologized, and I said, well, I didn't think you would be calling me now. He said, oh, don't worry about all the priests are doing. They can't believe that I'm calling them and saying hello to them. I had kind of thought who he would, what he would sound like and what he'd have to say and all that. I kind of prejudged him calling me at this time, at this point in my life. And I get that sense in the first reading today because the people of Israel were probably already trying to understand who is the new king who is to come, as the prophet Isaiah had been foretelling, that one day this extraordinary king will come. But how they misunderstood that. What I'd like to do is for us to go back so ever briefly to kind of look at the passages we had from Isaiah for the last two Sundays in this season of Advent. 2 weeks ago when we began, we heard the passage in which it was taken from the third section that they were back in their homeland after being exiled. But they were very depressed and saddened what they saw. But they came to the realization that this was really their fault because they are the ones that broke the covenant with God. They're the ones that did not keep the commandments. And so far, they lost their kingdom, at least for several decades. Last Sunday, we heard from the second section at the beginning in which God made the announcement that they were going to return after he first of all would forgive them and take away their guilt. He wanted them to realize what they had done, and if they had a contrite heart, he would forgive and have them come back. Remember the very first words we heard, comfort, give comfort to my people Israel. Now for our passage for today. It is taken from the third section, towards the end, in which after a while in which the prophet Isaiah had foretold that they were going to go back, they would come back to their kingdom, but now he kind of identifies who the new king will be. They were looking forward to a new king. They had their preconceived idea. He'd be very strong, powerful. He would put all the other nations to shame. No one had ever dared to take them away from their homeland and kingdom. But what the prophet Isaiah said is this. This is what the new king is going to do. He's going to bring glad tidings to the poor. He will heal the brokenhearted. He will proclaim liberty to the captives and release to prisoners. He was not talking about those physically bound, but spiritually. This new kingdom will be a kingdom that will endure forever, and the king will rule forever. But what he is going to do is tell people that their sins will be forgiven. Their sins that kept them shackled and enslaved, they will be forgiven. If we recall last Sunday when we heard from Isaiah, he said, make a straight highway for God to come. You know, tear down those mountains and fill in those valleys so that God can come straight away to you and to me. If we recall 2 weeks ago when we began our Advent season, I said that this season is not known as a season, a penitential season. That's the Lenten season. But I can't help think, but from what we've heard from the prophet Isaiah, well, I would hope that each and every one of us would kind of even look at our souls to see, where is it that I am enslaved to sin and evil? What is it that I need to be forgiven so I know that I am free from my sins and the guilt is taken away? I encourage you to use the sacrament of penance before the celebration of Christmas. I'm offering a couple more times this week and next week in which you're able to use the sacrament of penance to seek forgiveness of sin, to let go of the ensnarement that sin can have in our lives, because sin should not master us, but we should master it, knowing that God forgives, he takes away the guilt, and makes us free. This is the King who is to come once again as we celebrate Christmas, to bring peace to all people, to let no people are free and are liberated from their sins, announce a year of favor of God to us. We're no longer held in enslavement to sin, but we are free by God through the sacrament of penance to let go of sin and once again follow Christ with a lively faith.